What's up, Marley?
What's goody? All right, we'll just flow right into this.
Dude, that was not natural at all, dude. You got real rigid for a second. Try it again. All right. Take it again. What's up, Marley?
I almost want like a Saul Goodman tax guy. You know what I mean? It's just like...
Oh, no, definitely. You want somebody who's like just shady enough.
Uh-huh.
Who's gonna like do it the right way, but like
who's gonna get you all your money back?
Who's not gonna like outright break the law and like say that, you know, that you have five kids and like draft up some fake marriage documents,
but he knows what you could get away
with. But somebody who says that, like, who might claim that you have a home office at your house that you know, is 1,000 square feet or mm-hmm. something like that, you know? Yeah. Something like that.
I've worked from my bed plenty of times.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking, dreaming, that's creative writing right there, essentially.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's a write-off.
Mm-hmm.
Write-off sleeping.
Yeah. That's 8 hours right there that I was working.
I donate to charity. I'm a bit of a charity case.
I donate anonymously.
You do donate anonymously. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Marvelo.
Yeah.
To what was it? I almost said unanimous Marlin. Anonymous Marlin.
Anonymous Marlin, yeah. Yeah,
shouts out to Marlin for donating to the nightowls.film Kickstarter. Anybody out there, donate. Still 6 days left.
Yes.
Yeah, so like I work with a lot of people. I have this theory that, you know, whenever it's come to taxes, I always put them off. And maybe I'm like a little bit self-conscious, so I never like talk about taxes like that much. But everybody, you know, is like, oh, I got to file my taxes. Oh, I'm so stressed. I got to fill out my taxes, blah, blah, blah. I sort of feel like these old people are like, they're just saying that to make it seem like they're doing their taxes, but like, come on.
Do they really?
Come like, on, yeah. Nobody's really doing their taxes. Yeah. Okay. April 15th. Get it done.
Yeah. Or you can file an extension until what, October?
I think it goes October. But then I've always done that in the past. I'm like, oh yeah, I got plenty of time now. And then if fucking October comes, it goes. And I'm like, oh, well. I might be proper fucked now.
Yeah, no, I did that one time where I paid the $50 extension fee and still didn't file my taxes. So it's like, why even file the extension?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they're gonna get it.
I promise, checks in the mail, dude.
Yeah,
checks in the mail.
Checks in the mail.
Okay, what else is going on?
College
b-ball. College
b-ball. Women's college b-ball. March Madness. March Madness.
Okay, go off. Yeah, because this is your thing. This is your thing.
As far as like women's go,
I go off. This is your platform. I know you had some women's basketball thoughts. Let's talk about it.
No,
you're a big Caitlin Clark guy.
Yeah, I'm just a huge fan of the game. Caitlin Clark. I mean, it is, as long as there is attention to the game, I'm a big fan of. It is funny, like these like last couple of years, you know, Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese or Caitlin Clark versus South Carolina. I feel like a lot of the attention, you know, it does kind of, you know, it's like almost it could be like a racial thing, you know what I mean? But like it's almost billed as something larger than the game, you know, the women in general have been fighting for, you know, just like more attention, you sure. know, on like their game in general,
I guess.
And I feel like that comes in waves. Did you see that Diana Taurasi was kind of going off on Caitlin Clark?
No, what was she saying?
She was just saying that, you know, she'd come to the WNBA and pretty much get this work that, you know, she's pretty much nothing. And everyone was kind of dogging on Diana
Taurasi. Does Diana Taurasi still play in the WNBA?
Dude, she's like Kobe with like no Achilles and, you know.
She's just like limp into the end, to the end of her career. So what was she saying? She was saying like, Caitlin Clark, come to WNBA and you ain't shit. Like,
yeah,
you
were like, gonna... like come get this work, essentially, which I love.
Okay.
And I think with a lot of the casuals, she's getting pushed back as like a hater. But I feel like that's like what grows a sport. And like, that's how you can tell that, you know, progress is being made. That maybe when Diana Taurasi was coming up, she was kind of like billed as like, you know, like the next big thing. But even then, like the WNBA hadn't been around that, you know, around long enough
sure.
to like have like those established arguments of like, okay, like who's the GOAT women's player?
Wasn't it well, like Lisa Leslie That's, or right? Yeah. Was, like, was Cheryl Miller? Was the WNBA around when she played?
No. So Okay, so maybe this kind of goes into what I want to talk about. Like, how many, like, WNBA players or women's basketball players in general, like, can you name off the top of your head?
I think we just named them. Diana Taurasi, Lisa right. Leslie, Brittany Griner.
Okay.
Brittany Griner. Russian all spy, right. maybe? I think I'm running out, though.
Let me stop you there, because I do have some fun awards.
Okay,
please. Or categories that we could go over.
Okay.
Just give me a minute.
While you're looking that up, I just want to, before we go into that real quick. So when you've been on record as being a fan of the WNBA and the women's game for a long time. I've known that. We've all known that. Honestly, dude, for a long time, I thought it was just kind of like ironic. How true is that? Or have you always actually been a genuine fan of the game? Like I, there's a part of me that feels like it started off as like ironic. Like I'm into this thing that you guys aren't into.
Uh-huh.
And so like, that's my thing. I'm going to be into the WNBA, but now you actually are into it. But like, that's just my read. Like, have you always been actually into it?
Yeah. Like just from like a personal like perspective, I think it was because, you know, like I grew up with sisters that played, you know, sports pretty competitively. And then, you know, we went to a high school with a very good female basketball team. And I have, you know, just like kind of appreciated, you know, like they're good players. Diana Taurasi actually, she's from Southern California. She actually went to high school with, like a cousin of mine. So I don't know, for like one reason or another.
Just kind of had some like loose connections to the women's game. Yeah,
exactly. And like, I've kind of like used women's sports or maybe even like WNBA in general as like insult stats.
Okay. In one way.
So, I mean, the real CP3, Candace Parker,
okay,
has hung more banners in Staples Center than, you know, Chris Paul. Than Chris Paul.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, before your Dodgers won the Mickey Mouse Championship in 2020, the now defunct Sacramento Monarchs had a more recent championship than, you know, Dodgers.
Was that actually necessary or like, I mean, the Dodgers just catching strays on this?
Well, I'm sure you could sleep well at night now that they've won that one in 2020, but like that was always like,
honestly, dude. Okay. As an aside, like every fucking, it bothers. I don't care. Like, yes, I will claim that as a legitimate championship, but I'm not going to lie. I think I speak for all Dodger fans out there that it really bothered. Like we do want to win one more to solidify, like to kind of put that to bed, because it is kind of annoying. Anyway, go ahead.
But like to go on that, because the Lakers also won in 2020, which is a Mickey Mouse championship. Anyway, no, but in, like I'm saying, in 10, 15, 20 years, no one's going to remember that was right. That season. You know what I mean?
When was the lockout shortened MLB season?
94 was lockout. 99 was shortened NBA season with the Spurs first and
nobody's
championship.
Nobody ever like says that the exactly. Spurs didn't like, actually win
like
it.
No one ever puts an asterisk on. Oh, so essentially maybe Kobe's 5 holds more weight because they had to play more games essentially five full seasons.
That's right.
Five full rings.
Okay, so when you watch the WNBA, and then like, I don't mean this like, this is going to sound like condescending or pejorative or whatever, and I don't mean it to be. Do you actually like enjoy, like, are the games actually entertaining to you?
Yes, because I feel like they're more on par with how, you know, everyone else other than NBA players, like as far as like the style of play, yes, you know, with
not ball as many alley-oops.
Fundamentals, yeah.
Well, shit, I mean, now that the game has turned into a fucking three-point contest, like, every time, it's actually, the NBA and the women's game is actually probably a little bit closer line. But anyway, your point is well taken. Okay, understood.
But yeah, I mean, and so, yes, I have always, you know, been a fan, but I've also enjoyed having this sports knowledge that no one else has, you know? Sure. Like, it is fun to, like, go to, like, a trivia night and them try to like stump everybody with like a WNBA, like a women's basketball question.
Marlon just goes to trivia nights, just yeah. Like, please, please, WNBA, please, we let there be a WNBA section.
Yeah. Or like who won the women's college basketball championship in 2005?
UConn?
Nope.
Yeah,
exactly.
Tennessee?
No, nope. No one's gonna get it.
Do you know it?
Yeah, of course.
fuck you. Of course we. Hold on. Give me three more guesses. Okay, it's not UConn. It's not Tennessee. I have fucking no idea. Gonzaga.
No, but the coach did win a championship last year, just not with that current team.
For the women's?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that doesn't fucking help me at all. I don't know. Florida.
No. So Kim Mulkey used to be the coach of Baylor, and I think that was her first championship as a coach.
Baylor.
Oh. Yeah. And then she won another championship, I believe, with Brittany Griner, and then she won another championship in 2019 before the COVID lockout season, and then she went to LSU. So, oh yeah. So I do consider myself actually a women's basketball historian. I actually do own that Twitter handle, WNBA historian. I haven't done anything with it, but
that's a great handle.
I got the handle.
That's a great handle.
Yeah.
I feel like you could hold on to that handle and just like generate followers without tweeting anything for,
I haven't checked it in maybe close to a year, but I definitely have it.
Well, now I got to check it out. Okay. So keep going with your thing.
Okay.
WNBA historian, by the way.
Yeah. WNBA historian.
Okay. Go ahead.
So maybe I'll just like get onto my awards. This is a Cheryl Miller award for, oh my God, women are good at basketball. So when, I figured this out because Cheryl Miller was an NBA analyst, a sideline analyst for the NBA.
Sure.
During Reggie Miller's playing days. So you would hear, you know, her talk about her days of school and Reggie in the backyard.
Riverside.
Yep, Riverside.
MLK. And did they go to MLK?
I'm not sure. They may have gone to MLK.
Anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, and she was a stud, won two titles at USC. And I think she's credited as the first woman to dunk a basketball. Obviously not in a pro game. I'm not sure if she ever did it in a college game, but
Riverside Poly. Anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, and then even like Reggie says that Cheryl was always like kicking his butt in like shooting
competitions. I think that's in the that's in that Reggie Miller like 30 for 30, right? It was on winning time? No, not winning time. Whatever. The one about Reggie Miller versus the Knicks.
Was that 11 seconds? 11 seconds or less?
No, that was the fucking, that was like the UNLV offense. But I think there was a moment where like Reggie was talking how like he got picked up from school one day and he had scored like 40 points or whatever. And he was all stoked. And their dad had just picked up Cheryl and he's like all stoked. And Cheryl's just like talking about how he like scored 40 points or whatever. And Cheryl's like, you're like, what? She's like just not talking. And Reggie turned around. I was like, why? What's up? What'd you do? And he's like, scored 100.
Thing is, I think she scored 100 at halftime, like before halftime. And then the other team didn't even come out for the second half. I could be wrong. I could be mistaking two separate stories of like she was killing this team so bad that they didn't come out for the second half. But it may be that same story where I think she may have scored 100 points and a half. And then
that's insane. And I think when I used to hear those stories, I'd be like, that's kind of like apocryphal, or like, that sounds like, oh, that's like a thing that people say, but it never really happened. You know, kind of like Wilt, how Wilt never really scored 100 points. Just kidding. Anyway, hold that thought. But then we went to a high school that did have a fucking dominant women's basketball team. And they used, like, I think we used to beat teams like 80-20 or something like that. So I think when I started watching that, I was like, oh, this actually can't happen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny on those women's, our high school women's basketball team, like they'd beat a team, you know, like 90-10, like where like they could have easily put up 150 points.
Yeah.
And I remember like asking like the women's coach, like, why don't you score 100? And he's like, you don't beat up on, you know, helpless children. Like, essentially, like, he just knew that.
Okay. Like but when you beat him 90-10, like, there's a little, like, I don't know.
But, like, they were hitting threes, you know what I mean? I don't know. It was just, like, their style of play. Like they had full court press for a half, and it'd be over in, like,
yeah, first, I mean, it's like, pretty fucked months. Up when, like, you put in your second team, and they're still, like, winning quarters by, like, 25 points. Then you put in your third team, and they're still winning quarters by, like, 10 points.
Yeah, and, like, you're legit, like, vying, you know, for a state championship, and some of these programs, right, you know, are pulling anybody that they can, you know, just to fill up like their roster. So
yeah, no doubt. Okay, so the Cheryl Miller Award, did that go to somebody, or does that award go to Cheryl Miller?
So that, well, it's going to be separate for everybody. So my Cheryl Miller Award for, oh my God, Women Play Basketball, for me, it's going to go to Cheryl Miller because she was like the first one that I heard that actually played, you know, basketball. I was like, oh wow, I didn't know that women not only played basketball, but, you know, excelled in basketball at a, you know, to a certain degree. So I guess my question to you for this award for you to give out is, who was like the first like kind of major women's basketball player that like kind of drew your attention to the game?
Lisa Leslie.
Okay. Yeah. And like, honestly, like that kind of is my maybe more legit answer because she was the one that I started watching.
She was the first female basketball player that I even realized was like, this is going to sound so stupid, but like that there were actually, I think before I heard of Lisa Leslie or like knew who she was, I was vaguely aware that there was like a WNBA, but like, I didn't realize that they had like actual, like, you know, iconic players.
Uh-huh.
And then she also played for the Sparks too. So like, they were like a little bit easier to follow, but yeah, definitely her.
Yeah, so like back in those days, like the Lisa Leslie Sparks days, like I was like mainly following the Sparks, you know. It's not like I was like, I knew multiple, you know, teams. And
okay.
Okay. Yeah. All right, moving on. To our next award. Hold on. Do-do-do-do. This one is the Lisa Leslie, oh shit, this woman can dunk award.
All right. I see we're going back to the same pool. Okay, keep going.
All right. Like, do you other than Lisa Leslie, do you have like another award? Like, did you ever like see another woman
dunk a basketball?
Dunk a basketball?
Fuck no. I thought that was like, no, I've never seen a woman dunk a basketball. Maybe like, you know, like the little free, like the kind of dunks that you see, like kind of like where it's like kind of barely.
Well, you also named one in like one of like the 3, 4, 5.
Brittany Griner.
There you go. Another one.
Could she fucking jam though, or could she like get her fingers over the basket?
No, she could easily dunk, but like it didn't look as like clean or athletic.
Dude, I know we talked about this last time, but like, why? I don't understand. Why don't they do that?
Yeah. And
what? By 1 foot. Like, seriously, I mean, in softball, we do the underhand pitching, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's precedent set for, like, adjusting the game to, like, to the genders, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I also feel like that maybe hurt the growth of the sport, you know, because it's like... Huh?
Of softball?
Of basketball?
Wait, you're saying it hurt the sport, it hurt the growth of what?
I'm saying if you're to lower the hoop, mm-hmm. maybe it hurts like the growth of the sport just because like now at every park or every high school gymnasium, you know, like
girls can't play with guys.
Exactly. Or, mm-hmm. you know, you need to essentially redo like your basket because like our baskets, you know, it's not like they were adjustable. Like they came down from the rafters and they sat perfectly at 10 feet and like, that was it. Like you couldn't adjust it like one way or another. So,
okay. That's a fair point.
I'm not saying like it couldn't be done with like some tweaks, you know, but like maybe like that is a barrier.
Yeah. Okay. That's a fair point. I think the only thing is, this is such like a Neanderthal take, but part of the reason why I just can't help but feel that part of the reason why WNBA suffers is from like being as more of an enticing on court product is because there's not as much like high flying action.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's my fucking dumb take. But I do get what you're saying, which is that like if you do that, then it kind of excludes like the pickup games where like, you know, every once in a while, you know, when you're at 24 Hour Fitness and there's like some random girl like this there. It's and, like you don't want to take that away. Every time it does happen every once in a while. Yeah. And almost always you're like she's a shooter.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I mean, like I've played pickup ball with, you know, some really good girls. And, if I'm ever on a team with some guy that's like I've played with Amanda, you know,
yeah.
So like I've like played with her and against her, like in rec leagues. And I like I've gone up against like one of her teams, and you know, like just I remember like telling like someone else like, "Hey, put don't a hand up,
don't sleep on this bitch." Yeah,
no, exactly. Like, don't sag off. You know what I mean? Like, she will
she'll fucking pop you right in your eye,
and she like she'll break your ankles. Like you may be able to recover and swat her if you're a jerk, but I mean,
okay,
but I mean, she can school you, and she will.
Okay, so the Lisa Leslie award goes to Brittany Griner.
Well, for you, yeah.
Pick for me, it's going to Brittany Griner.
Yeah, and like I'm just gonna go over a list of players who can
please.
Dunk. So we have Cheryl Miller supposedly could dunk. We've all seen Lisa Leslie, Brittany Griner, Candace Parker.
Okay.
Elena Deladon. Not sure if you remember her. She was on the Mystics.
Okay.
She like bounced around the NBA, went to Rhode Island. She's a cute white girl. But maybe my favorite dunker of all time from the women's game, Sylvia Fowles, went to LSU, played for the Minnesota Lynx, Team USA, and she also ordered breakfast from yours truly when I was serving at a egg cracker restaurant.
Are you fucking kidding
yeah,
me?
Yeah, I swear. Dude, she was a presence just as far as like, you know, being 6'5" and
I'm looking up a video athlete. Of anyway, keep going. I'm looking up a video of her dunking. Let's see.
Do it at LSU. She throws it down with authority.
Let's see. Oh, damn. Oh, she kind of barely got over on this one. Okay. She kind of looks like she almost ate shit a little bit. Okay, hold on. Sylvia Fowles. Hold on, I need to look it up now. Fowles, dunk, LSU.
Also, Jonquil Jones and Liz Cambage. If there's any more that I missed, I apologize, but those were the ones that I could come up with.
Sorry, bitches.
Oh, moving on. Okay, so I think there's one definitive award for this one.
Okay.
But we'll see if you could get it.
Okay.
This is the Michael Jordan Award for GOAT retiring in their prime to play with smaller balls and a hard stick.
Hold on, I'll say it one more time.
The Michael Jordan Award for the GOAT retiring in their prime to play with smaller balls and a hard stick.
Smaller balls and a hard stick.
So, I mean, we all know that Michael Jordan retired in his prime to play baseball.
Sure, yeah.
And
yeah.
There was a GOAT on the women's side
that
did not play baseball, but she was playing hardball in other ways.
Go ahead. I can't wait to hear this.
All right, so it's Maya Moore. I'm not sure if you remember her. She went to UConn.
Oh, yeah, of course.
She won two titles at UConn, won four titles in 8 years in the WNBA, and then she retired to actually do some good deeds. So she somehow like met this man or got in contact with this guy who was wrongfully convicted and spent 16 years in prison, wrongfully convicted. But she heard about his story and pretty much like retired to like fight, you know, like for justice for this man and got him out of prison. And then they eventually got married and like now have like a happy family.
What?
So, yeah.
What?
Yeah. But yeah.
Hold on. That is a fucking crazy story.
Uh-huh. So she won four NBA titles in 8 seasons and then retired and essentially
got this. I have so many questions. Hold on. I don't even know if you have the answer to these, but like, first of all, an amazing award. Wait, so what is, okay, make the connection between playing with balls and sticks.
So I kind of consider her the GOAT.
Okay.
Or, you know, yeah, yeah. Like
sure, she's the GOAT.
She retired early. Yeah, she retired early. You know, four titles in 8 seasons, you know, is no joke. Jordan retired after 3 championships to go play baseball. So, you know, retiring to, you know, go play with balls and a hard stick, Jordan, and then her to pretty much get her husband out of prison and start a family. So,
okay.
And they both have happy endings because Jordan came back.
Did Maya Moore have a relationship with this person while he was in prison? That sounds like just crazy.
So I'm not sure how she heard about his story, but she eventually became pen pals with this guy and, you know, really kind of got involved and, you know, really like kind of like saw it as like a calling to, you know, try to criminal justice reform. And because he was
that's definitely like wrongfully convicted. The Innocence Project, that's mm-hmm. a nonprofit that does like this exact thing, is that they fight to turn to appeal cases that are flimsy at best. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a crazy story.
Yep.
I don't think I ever do that. WNBA historian.
Yeah.
No kidding. I love that. Did you watch the women's championship final?
I did. And it was a lot of what I expected. I kind of expected that to happen in the semifinal as far as like Iowa losing, just because I didn't think they had enough firepower with their supporting cast. And I thought that maybe Gino would game plan a little bit better as far as either letting Caitlin score all the points and shutting down the role players or vice versa.
Is she a senior?
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's going into the WNBA presumably next year. Do people not like her?
I think
like what's the deal with her? Because I feel like she's been like she was goaded like
so. I think
earlier in the season and maybe even last season.
I think she became like so. There were two polarizing players last year. So it was like her versus Angel Reese. You know what I mean?
Uh huh.
So I mean, and then like whenever you have like blacks versus whites, you know, that it turns from
what happened to women supporting women. You know what I mean?
No, but exactly. So it turned from, basketball conversation to more of like where we're at culturally or, you know what I mean? Like,
God, that's so like eye rolly, but something tells me, like, I don't know why, but I feel like Caitlin Clark was like goaded like either earlier in the year. And then there's always pushback to the, you know what I mean? Like somebody ascends and then there's always like some pushback to it. Yeah,
but like her and Angel Reese, like they're definitely both hyper-competitive, super outspoken, and like they're going to talk trash. You know what I mean?
Does Caitlin Clark talk a lot of shit?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
And the thing is I feel like that's what draws people to the sport. Like as much as like this is my issue with like men's sports where like, we almost like want this drama, but at the same time, like we do our best to kind of like push it away as far as like the hyper competitiveness, like the debates, of who's the GOAT and,
So is this a little like, is there like a little Kendrick Perkins, like anti Jokic, like sort of like kind of thing that's happening here? You know what I mean? Like there might be a little bit of that.
Yeah.
This is what you're talking about. Basically it's just like a racial thing.
No, exactly.
There's like a lot of like black media voices that are kind of maybe talking. Is the theory that they're like just kind of pushing back on Caitlin Clark as the GOAT because what, she's white?
Like, I wouldn't even say it's from, like, the people within, like, women's basketball or basketball in general. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? As far as, and then it's, like, the casual fans that are, like, coming in and, like, making it more about that. But, like, the fact that I feel like Diana Taurasi and, like, some of the other, like, now WNBA analysts who are, former players, are, like, now, like, sparking more debate, which is like great because I feel like we didn't have that before, but it's because like there was no history behind that, there was nothing to compare it to. Or
that being said, really I would sort of I okay, yeah, I'm with you. I would sort of love if there were some like current NFL players that were like just like outright telling Caleb Williams like, bro, you ain't shit.
Yeah,
fuck it. Well, when you come to the league, we're gonna fucking bust that ass.
Uh-huh.
I would love that. I would love if more of that,
yeah,
that happened.
You're gonna need a manicure when we're done with you. Just scraping dirt from underneath your nails.
Okay, so I feel like I've come back around. I've gone. This is like now we're completely switching gears. But like while we're on Caleb Williams, like I feel like I kind of want him to get his ass beat a little bit, like his first year. I don't know why. Do you at all share that sentiment?
No, I do because. I mean, especially for the NFL, I don't know. He seems too...
He's like a bit of a dandy.
Yeah. Yeah, a little, like, happy-go-lucky. Like, not someone that I would kind of see leading a locker room.
He just kind of seems like a bitch, to be honest.
Well, go on. Expand on that.
I mean, I don't know him. Like, he could be, like, a very, like, cool guy. But he just kind of, like, he's been goaded for, like, a couple years now as, like, the great, like, the next fucking whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Like Wembanyama, for instance, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that guy, like, he's been talked about for years, or at least a calendar year that he's going to, the next whatever. But like, he's just kind of kept his head down fucking, at least from what I can tell, is kind of seems to like keep his head down and just fucking play the game and just still trying to like do it the right way. But fucking Caleb Williams is just like, you know, like refusing to fucking go to the combine. I think there were reports months ago that he wanted like ownership in the Bears. Like, I don't know, like how, or ownership and part ownership in whatever team drafted him. I don't know. I'm not really feeling it.
Like
you're gonna have to show me something, dude. Like, how many?
There you go. And I think that's it. And I think it's because maybe who we listen to as far as like, you know, we
like our sports takes.
Yeah. Like our, like Big Cat, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like he's so excited to have anybody a quarterback that he's been super positive that like no one's like really in like that like mentality of like prove it. It's just like, oh my god, like we just have like a shot at this guy that could be amazing.
I feel like if you were to fucking pump some Bears fans full of truth serum,
they're a little worried.
For a couple reasons. One, it's like, because yeah, they've been so disappointing at the quarterback position for so long, and they've like been had such, I don't even want to call it bad luck, but like nothing's a sure thing. You know what I mean? But here's a guy who's as much of a sure thing as anybody, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And he's just kind of like, he's just not really a gamer, dude. You know what I mean? It just doesn't seem that way. We'll see.
And it's also hard to tell because it's not like SC was really like running through like a serious gauntlet or like, I feel like he didn't
really have to prove anything. His past season when they really had a true target on their back, they weren't great. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was good, mm-hmm. but it's fucking college, dude. Like, how many college quarterbacks do we see like come out and like they're supposed to be the fucking the guy?
Yeah.
I mean, who are the number one? Whatever. I don't have time to do. We can't even like do the research right now. But I swear, the number one quarterbacks taken in.
But like Josh drafts. Rosen, remember that? Like,
fuck yeah,
yeah.
Josh Rosen. I mean, you can go back even further. Yeah, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think these were quite the prospects that Caleb Williams was. I mean, don't get me wrong. Watching him play ISC was fun to watch. He's definitely got all the tools.
Yeah, like the arm talent and.
Yeah, but the fucking game is the game, dude. Mm-hmm. The game is the game. That's what. Did D'Angelo Barksdale say that on The Wire? You ever watched The Wire?
Yeah, I did. I didn't know it was a Wire reference.
The game stay the game. You're saying you're going to show me something. So going back, I feel like if you were to pump Bears fans full of chew serum, they'd be a little bit worried. And I swear half of them wanted fucking Justin Fields to stay. So we'll see. All right. Good shit. WNBA historian.
Oh, one more
award. Oh, you got more?
Yeah. Okay. And then this is just to kind of, you know, settle the score, I guess. This is the Steve Nash Award for I Get Too Much Praise for Being Small and White Award. This one goes to Sue Bird. I'm sorry, Sue. I know you're a talented basketball player. I don't really like you. I feel like she's like, for anyone that says I don't like the WNBA because they're just fundamental and bounce passes and this and that, I feel like she's like,
you don't like her game or you don't like her?
I don't like her game.
Okay.
No, I mean, I'm like, as a person, like, I've seen her in interviews and as a person,
she seems fine.
Yeah,
she's whatever.
Fine. Great, great fine person. But game. I just feel like she gets a little too much credit for, like, and this is like a pure basketball, women's basketball take. I feel
you've always been a purist.
Yes.
For the women's game.
And I just feel like she's gotten way too much credit for her actual, like, you know, for like what she actually is.
Overrated.
Correct. So I think Sue Bird's overrated.
Who's like the general consensus, like number one player in the WNBA right now?
Ooh, at this moment? Ooh, I feel like that's kind of easy, and I'm really upset that her name slipped in my head. Asia Wilson is up there, and then also Brittany, man, she went to UConn. She played on the Seattle Storm. And she's currently on the Liberty. Why can't I think of her name? Her name might not even be Brittany.
Are we going to be able to find this?
Yeah, sorry.
Brittany WNBA player.
New York Liberty.
Brittany Boyd.
Nope, sorry. Brianna Stewart.
Brianna Stewart. Of course.
So Brianna Stewart, Asia Wilson. Those are a couple. You know, it's debatable.
Is the season going on right now? I feel like I'm learning so much right now. When does it start?
Ooh, that's a good question. I believe it starts in June.
Great.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Have you been to a WNBA game?
You know, surprisingly, no. And I've turned down, I've turned down opportunities to go by myself.
Sure. Yeah.
You
of
know
course.
What I mean? Like I,
every time there's a game, you turn down an opportunity.
Exactly. It's like I look at tickets and it's like, do I really want to drive to like LA and like sit with myself? Like I think I've invited, you know, a couple of our bros and they just, you know, they don't think I'm serious. So, or like they just laugh at me and tell me hell no. So,
do they play at Staples?
You know what? I know it for a time they did. But I know that there was also like a season or two where I feel like they may have played at
Poly Pavilion or
or Galen, like wherever the Lakers G League team was playing for a while.
Segundo somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
South Bay Lakers.
Mm-hmm. Also, Derek Fisher, terrible coach, terrible WNBA coach, ex Sparks coach. I feel like he was like the tank commander, but yeah, I think like the Sparks are going to turn it around here pretty soon. Our Sparks are going to be coming back. They have picks 2 and 4 in this upcoming draft.
So, is Caitlin Clark going number one?
Yes. And I forgot, I'm not sure who holds number one, but I think the Sparks are primed to get the center for Stanford. She's a cute white girl, tall, Cameron Brink. She almost looks like a volleyball player.
They all kind of do, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. Well, I'll go to a game. That sounds mildly fun.
We should do it. We'll get courtside seats for like 25 or 50 bucks.
That'd be fucking tight. All right. Sick.
Yeah.
WNBA historian. Follow him on X.
On X. Also, Marlon Futures on X as well. And the Home Dog Pod while you're at it. Although I think we're going to rebrand. Which
again.
Again.
There's nothing that says like a successful pod than renaming it 4 times.
But you know, we never had like a pass. You know what I mean? Like I feel like these, like who knows if these podcasts that we listen to now didn't have a previous name or at least like an established, you know, podcasting presence before like they came together with like a talent. You know what I mean? It's like, like Big Cat and PFT were separate.
Yeah.
Before like they came together, so I feel like it was easier for them to come up with like their show.
No doubt.
And maybe it wasn't, but you know
that's the version I'm gonna stick with.
It felt very seamless. So hopefully this next iteration that which we're about to embark
is
gonna be real seamless.
Making hay with Michael and Marlon. I like that.
Is that a formal announcement? You wanna formally announce it?
Oh shit, did I just out us?
No. That's
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't know how I wanted to announce this, but yeah, let's go ahead and announce the name of our new.
All right,
our
so now we're going to be called Making Hay with hold on, let me take that again. We're going to be Making Hay with Marlon and Michael. Why? Because we fucking like it, dude.
Yeah,
I'm sick of fucking I'm sick of people pulling me over in the street, dude, and saying, "Why'd you call it the Home Dog Podcast?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, because of this, because of Home Dogs, because we're friends, and also you know, like Home Dogs gambling. I get stopped every day, dude.
Yeah.
People asking me.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So we're just making hay.
Yeah. I feel like we were too much in our bag. And
sure.
Like, we're not thinking about, you know, this, like, the average population, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think we were expecting too much from newer listeners, you know? Or, like, maybe even discouraging them because who knows what home dog means. But making hay? Time to make some hay.
So this is going to be a lot of talking about whatever the fuck we want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes, sports, still going to be a lot of sports. We're going to do some watch-alongs. We got the Lakers hopefully going to be in the deep playoff run. Watch a couple Laker games, do a little live streams, Rumble, YouTube. We're going to get all that figured out.
Yeah, we're definitely getting this kicked off. So
We're still cutting our teeth.
So if you're day one, ride with us, baby, because like this ain't going away.
Yeah. I didn't mean to necessarily end it here, but like anything else you want to
That actually concludes WNBA Historian's half-ass Internet Research Awards.
Great. I love that.
Yeah. I'll cut that part because that was stolen. Stolen valor.
That's okay. You got to, what's the image? You got to, it's like a step of creative process, right? Is where like it begins with the, like imitation, then it becomes emulation,
mm-hmm.
then it evolves into like your own identity.
Yeah.
Got nothing wrong with that.
That's kind of, I mean, like this is nothing original, but I've always kind of thought that nothing is original. You know what I mean? Like we've all drawn on.
Of course.
Everyone's drawn on inspiration.
Everything's derivative.
Yes, exactly.
Derivative.
Have I ever had an original thought?
All right. Wait, what is that?
Off the dome. That was me.
Damn, dude. That's deep. All right. You got anything planned for the weekend?
No. I did just golf yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I actually played pretty damn well.
How's the game?
So I tweaked my swing a little. Game's good. I'm usually pretty good off the tee. So, like, that's not my problem. My problem is usually, like, right around, like, 160, between, like, 120 and 1. I'll say between 120 and 180. Sometimes it's just not my bag. Yeah, like my mid-range. Especially yesterday, I played a course with elevated greens, which is, like, my problem in my mid-range because, like, even if I can, like, hit, like, so usually I hit stingers or ground balls or, you know, it's just, like, that's kind of, like, how my mid-range is. Like, the harder I try, like, the flatter my shot is. And yesterday, actually the last couple of times I've gone out, I've tweaked something in my mid-range game to where I'm getting loft on my shots now. So I did hit a couple of greens via flight the other day, and to make me feel good. And like the sun's shining, I'm glad to be outside. And
you know what happens when the sun shines?
What happens?
Gotta make hay.
Ooh.
It's just fucking synchronicity, dude. There That's how go. It's done.
Yeah, we're fermenting.
I still have yet to get out on the links since the time change, but it's gonna come soon. I got to start making like a regular appointment just to go like on Fridays, and I just can't wait to get out there. All right, yeah, love that. Anything? Oh, you went to the Angels game?
Yes, I did. I had quite the day yesterday.
Yeah, smashing good time.
Yeah, so I got a little day boozy, a little darty. Woke up, had an early tea time. Played 18, played pretty good for me. I didn't keep score because it was like two, like me and another bro versus a solo essentially. So for a while we were playing kind of best ball until we realized we were the only ones on the course. So we could all just kind of play straight up. But by that time, like I wasn't really counting strokes, but I did birdie a par 5, had on the back. Nothing I think I had better. A couple more pars. That were like solely mine, you know, not just using like the best ball every time, but they were solely my pars. So, I feel like I'm making some progress. I'm gonna get a lesson before November because
you are.
Yeah, definitely.
Love that.
So,
oh, dude, I gotta show you something. Hold on 1 second.
All right.
Okay. So we're back. I don't know why I felt compelled to show you this. So a friend of mine this guy that I used to work with, he just quit. This guy was he was cool, but he was a fucking weirdo. Anyway, this guy grows his own, like literally he's renting a room out of his like aunt's house. And every Friday we would work from home and we would have like these Zoom calls. He'd have like this tent that was in his background. Like, dude, what the fuck is that? This motherfucker grows mushrooms, dude. Look at this! Look at this thing, dude.
Psilocybin or lion's mane or what is that,
dude? Look at this thing. That's a fucking.
This dude. Is beautiful,
dude. These things are like straight fucking blue, dude. This guy is like such a nerd. Like literally, like he like has his own fucking operation, and literally he just came into it was his last day of work, and he just brings in like 5 bags of this, and he just gives them out to me and like a couple other people.
Oh my god. For those listening, like these are like like some of the cleanest mushrooms I've ever seen. They're like white with like a hue of blue.
They're like pretty. It's like kind of like a work of art.
No, exactly. Like all the mushrooms that I've ever picked up have kind of been like dirty. You know, like
that's what I'm saying.
Like they've come straight from the ground. Mostly
stems. These are like straight fat caps, dude.
These look like they've been like washed and processed, but like you could tell that they're not. But like I'm saying, like that's how like clean they look. Wow. My instincts wanted to take over and like pop them right now.
Just force a habit, dude.
I didn't know it really was.
You just eat in your hand. You're like, okay, well, down the hash. Smoke them if you got them.
It's like these aren't potato chips.
Anyway, I might have to, I don't know, fucking partake. I don't think partake in pod one day, but I have a buddy. Buddy of mine from work took him like not that long ago, and he was like, "Dude, had a smashing good time, smashing good time." Anyway, I felt the need to come show you that.
No, definitely. I kind of I don't have a plug, so a lot of like this sketch weed shops in Orange County.
You got to plug now.
Oh, are you? Oh, you're saying I do.
I'm saying you got to plug. Oh. This guy literally, like, this is a side business of his.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I mean, he gave these for free, and he'll also
Is he in like the?
He's in
the edible game as far as like gummies or chocolates or anything.
No, he literally just slings straight
caps and stems.
Straight caps, homie. Straight caps, homie. Anyway, yeah, dude, I think this might be a little bit of a shorter podcast today. Anything else you want to talk about?
No. I don't really have anything on the docket.
All right, the Making Hay podcast. We're going to do some watch along, some live streams. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, we're cutting this one short just because today was just kind of like Michael and I, we had to do a pre-pod meeting.
A little admin day.
There you go.
A little admin, a little housekeeping.
Yeah, but like we still wanted to be consistent and put out some content for ourselves and for everybody else. So here we are. So those are the major announcements. And I didn't really have any interesting ride shares. I've been getting into like jazz lately.
Oh,
so I've been like listening to that, and I've been getting a lot of compliments from my riders. It's just like nice and easy, you know.
Like Duke Ellington, like type jazz, like Miles Davis, or like is it like a contemporary like jazz situation?
Like pretty much like all the above, and you know what's actually helped is your boy Gabe posting some of these.
These Instagram videos.
Yeah, videos, and a lot of those are kind of like jazzy in a sense. But then like there was also this like Brazilian like jazz artist that I had recently thrown on my playlist. Corcovado Quiet Nights of Quiet Something by Stan Getz and João Gilberto. That sounds like a Brazilian name.
João, that's definitely Brazilian.
I don't even know how to pronounce like the A squiggly.
Wow.
J O A squiggly.
Yep.
O. But yeah. Oh, and then Take Five. I didn't know that like Take Five
Dave
was.
Dave Brubeck?
Yeah.
The Dave Brubeck man.
But then like there's like everyone has like their variation of like a Take Five. And like I saw on Instagram so like Japanese jazz is a thing.
What?
I went on like a Japanese jazz like rabbit hole. And
is there anything distinctly Japanese about it?
I heard like a Take Five, like with like a Japanese style flute.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, and that was like kind of like the lead. So I don't know. Maybe I'll have to,
add that to some of our, Making Hay intros.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe, dude, I love that.
Maybe I'll do
see,
that.
Now, see, now one. We're doing it, dude. Now we're coming up with our own, like now we're doing it. I love this.
Anything you're thankful for?
I'm thankful for, I hate to keep running it back. What am I thankful for? Well, I'm thankful that baseball season is back.
Mm-hmm.
I know this has like been on a couple weeks, but we talked a little bit about this last week, but just thankful that sports, it's the only sport that's on legitimately 6 to 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's just always nice.
Yeah.
It's a good sports time right now because we got the Masters this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We got baseball season is just kind of getting into full effect.
Yeah.
Basketball playoffs is coming up. March Madness just ended.
Yes.
It's a good time.
Yeah. No. And actually this
might be only second. This time might be only second to like October when you get all the sports.
When you
going.
Have like football and hockey and the start of basketball all the good things. No, I'm definitely thankful for NBA basketball playoffs to be back because now I can actually watch my Lakers and, you know, it really means something now. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like we're going to get their truest form, you know? So
I just got to get out of those playing games. Got to make it to the first round.
So, and then, I'm thankful for us and making headway and making hay.
Yeah.
So,
Always thankful. I think that's a good way to finish it. Always the thing that we're thankful for and also thankful for you, buddy.
Yes, sir.